Have you ever found yourself trapped in a mental loop, replaying conversations or worrying about problems until you're emotionally exhausted? If so, you're not alone, especially if you're a woman. Susan Nolan Hoeksema's groundbreaking research reveals that women are twice as likely as men to become severely depressed or anxious, largely due to what she calls overthinking. This phenomenon has reached epidemic proportions, particularly among younger generations. The book has become required reading in psychology programs nationwide and has been praised by mental health professionals for its practical, research-backed approach. Even Oprah Winfrey featured Nolan Hoeksema's work on her show, calling it life-changing wisdom for women everywhere. What makes this book so powerful is its perfect blend of scientific research and actionable strategies that have helped countless women break free from the quicksand of their own thoughts. Overthinking isn't simply worrying. It's a toxic cycle where negative thoughts expand and grow increasingly destructive, what Nolan Hoeksema calls the yeast effect. Like yeast causing dough to rise and expand far beyond its original size, overthinking causes minor concerns to balloon into overwhelming problems. It takes three primary forms: rant and rave overthinking, self-righteous anger about perceived wrongs, such as replaying workplace conflicts or relationship disputes, life of their own overthinking, entertaining multiple explanations for feelings until problems seem larger than reality, like analyzing a friend's brief text message for hidden meanings, and chaotic overthinking, when unrelated concerns flood the mind simultaneously, jumping from career worries to health anxieties to relationship issues. Unlike productive reflection, which leads to insights and solutions, overthinking distorts reality through what Nolan Hoeksema terms the distorted lens effect. When we overthink, our negative mood directs our attention exclusively to negative aspects of our past, present, and future. We follow brightly lit paths from one negative thought to another, accumulating a truckload of negative memories and expectations while completely ignoring positive aspects of our situations. For example, after receiving constructive feedback at work, an overthinker might fixate exclusively on the criticisms while dismissing any praise, then spiral into questioning their entire career choice. The consequences are severe and well documented. 20 years of research shows overthinking magnifies stress, reduces problem-solving abilities, damages relationships, and contributes to serious mental disorders, including depression and anxiety. Overthinkers often report physical symptoms like insomnia, headaches, and digestive issues. Their relationships suffer as they repeatedly seek reassurance, misinterpret social interactions, and struggle to be present in conversations. One revealing study followed victims of the 1989 San Francisco World Series earthquake that killed 62 people. Students who were chronic overthinkers before the earthquake showed higher depression levels both 10 days and 7 weeks after the disaster, regardless of their pre-earthquake depression levels or how much actual stress they experienced. Even more alarming, Nolan Hoeksema's bereavement coping project revealed that overthinking is especially toxic after losing a loved one. Among nearly 500 people who lost someone to terminal illness, almost 45% of overthinkers developed major depressive disorder following their loss, compared to non-overthinkers whose grief symptoms were typically less overwhelming and shorter-lived. The overthinkers became trapped in cycles of questioning why the death occurred, what they could have done differently, and how they could have prevented it, questions that had no answers but prevented healthy grieving and acceptance. Our brains are organized in interconnected networks that make overthinking not just common, but almost inevitable. Stanford psychologist Gordon Bauer's groundbreaking research revealed that our memories are connected through complex emotional networks. Negative memories cluster together in one network, while positive memories form another. When we experience a negative mood, the brain automatically activates these negative memory nodes, making them more readily accessible to conscious thought. This neural architecture explains why a single worried thought about work can rapidly cascade into unrelated anxieties about our childhood experiences, physical appearance, and relationships. The more frequently we engage in overthinking, the stronger these negative networks become, creating deeply embedded neural pathways that make breaking free increasingly difficult. But why has overthinking become so prevalent in modern times? Research consistently shows it's predominantly affecting younger generations at unprecedented rates. In a comprehensive study of 1,300 people across age groups, 73% of young adults and 52% of middle-aged adults identified themselves as overthinkers, while only 20% of those over 65 even recognized the concept. This stark generational difference mirrors the historical trajectory of depression rates. Fewer than 20% of people born before 1915 reported experiencing serious depression during their lifetime, compared to over 40% of those born after 1955. This parallel suggests a fundamental shift in how newer generations process and relate to their thoughts and emotions. Four significant cultural trends have fueled our modern epidemic of overthinking. First, we're experiencing a profound vacuum of values. While we enjoy unprecedented freedom of choice in everything from careers to relationships, we lack the clear moral and social guidance systems that helped previous generations navigate life decisions. Second, our society's growing entitlement obsession has created unrealistic expectations about happiness, success, and respect. When reality inevitably falls short of these expectations, we spiral into cycles of analytical rumination. Third, our culture's compulsive need for quick fixes, ranging from alcohol and social media to prescription medications, provides temporary emotional relief, but often deepens underlying psychological issues and creates dependency. Finally, we've developed what psychologists term a belly button culture that encourages excessive self-analysis and introspection. Rather than accepting simple explanations for our moods or social interactions, we obsessively search for deeper meaning in every emotional fluctuation and interpersonal exchange. The combination of our brain's natural tendency to form negative thought networks, generational shifts in mental health patterns, and these modern cultural forces has created a perfect storm for overthinking. Understanding these root causes is crucial for developing effective strategies to combat this growing psychological challenge. Despite significant advances in women's status over the past 50 years, women remain twice as likely as men to develop depression. This disparity isn't explained by a single factor, but by multiple biological, social, and psychological influences converging to create greater vulnerability, with overthinking being a significant contributor. Research shows this pattern emerges as early as adolescence and persists throughout adulthood, affecting women across cultural and socioeconomic boundaries. Social inequities persist that may fuel women's tendency toward overthinking. Women still earn only 74 cents for every dollar men earn, with the wage gap widest among low-income workers and women of color. This economic disparity creates constant stress about financial security and future planning. Most married working mothers continue carrying the majority of household responsibilities despite requesting more help from partners, creating what sociologists call the second shift, essentially working two full-time jobs between career and home life. These chronic strains, grinding annoyances and burdens from women's lower social power, significantly increase overthinking tendencies and create a cycle of stress and rumination. Women also define themselves through relationships far more than men do, as daughters, wives, mothers, friends, and caregivers, and build broader, deeper emotional networks. While these connections enrich women's lives, they also provide more people and situations to ruminate about. Women are more emotionally affected by traumatic events in others' lives, showing higher empathy levels and emotional investment in others' well-being. They're more likely to cross from healthy emotional connection into unhealthy emotional over-involvement, basing their self-worth too heavily on others' opinions and relationship status. This tendency toward co-rumination, extensively discussing and revisiting problems with others, can actually reinforce negative thinking patterns. From early childhood, parents treat daughters differently than sons, encouraging expression of sadness and anxiety in girls while discouraging it in boys. Studies show parents use more emotional language with daughters and spend more time discussing feelings. Unfortunately, some parents excessively reinforce their daughters' negative emotions without helping them develop coping strategies or problem-solving skills. Girls internalize the message that unhappiness is inevitable and uncontrollable, creating a foundation for later rumination patterns. Women are significantly more likely than men to believe negative emotions cannot be managed, which directly fuels overthinking. This belief system is further reinforced by cultural messages that normalize women's anxiety and emotional struggles while stigmatizing seeking help or developing emotional regulation skills. The workplace adds another layer of complexity, where women often face the double bind of being expected to be both assertive and nurturing, leading to additional overthinking about how to navigate these contradictory expectations. Professional women frequently report spending excessive mental energy analyzing their communication style, appearance, and leadership approaches in ways that their male counterparts rarely do.
Breaking free from overthinking requires specific strategies, beginning with effective distraction. Research shows that activities involving concentration and physical activity are most effective at disrupting overthinking patterns. When ruminating at night, it's crucial to get up after 15-20 minutes rather than continuing to lie there hoping thoughts will subside. For persistent overthinking in specific locations, changing the environment can help, organizing a cluttered desk, or simply leaving the premises temporarily. When physical movement isn't possible, creating mental interruptions can help break overthinking cycles, like Carolyn, who mentally shouted "stop" during a boring meeting to halt rumination about relationship troubles. You can create your own internal thought-stopping technique. Some people use physical reminders, like toy stop signs or drawings. Words like "no" or "don't go there" can momentarily halt spiraling thoughts, creating enough space to implement more substantial interventions. For compelling worries that can't be dismissed, scheduling specific overthinking hours provides control while acknowledging concerns. This technique allows you to postpone rumination until a designated time, freeing your mind for immediate tasks. Interestingly, when the scheduled hour arrives, problems often seem smaller because the break allowed mood improvement and clearer thinking. Many people find relief through prayer, spiritual meditation, or secular mindfulness practices. Research shows these techniques help people with serious psychological problems gain control over their thoughts and feelings, possibly by counteracting tension, changing brain activity patterns, or creating distance from negative thoughts. Writing down overthinking thoughts provides structure and containment, transforming swirling concerns into manageable marks on paper. This process gives many people a sense of control and relief, what one woman called purging. Seeing thoughts written down helps distinguish between irrational fears and legitimate concerns, especially when revisited after taking a break.
Once freed from overthinking's grip, we must resist the temptation to avoid our problems entirely. The next phase involves gaining perspective by adjusting our focus. Overthinking creates a distorted lens effect that fixates on negative interpretations while blocking positive perspectives. The first step toward higher ground is consciously deciding to change your outlook by asserting, "I have the right to choose how I look upon this situation." Women often overthink whether their emotions, particularly anger, are justified, creating internal conflict between asserting themselves and violating deeply held rules about not upsetting others. The key is accepting your emotions without needing to justify them, while recognizing emotions don't have to dictate actions. As Rhonda discovered when dealing with an unreasonable publisher, accepting her anger as valid but choosing a measured response aligned with her ultimate goal allowed her to repair the relationship and find a collaborative solution. When overthinking takes on a life of its own, we often create problems that don't exist or magnify minor issues. Before diving into complex explanations for feeling bad, consider simple causes first: hormonal changes, lack of sleep, hunger, or isolated negative events. Taking care of these basic needs before analyzing your mood can prevent unnecessary rumination. Social comparison is deeply ingrained from childhood, but research by Sonia Lubomirsky reveals unhappy people engage in it excessively, while happy people rely on internal standards. Unhappy overthinkers care more about relative performance than actual achievement, feeling worse about excellent results when someone else did better than about poor results when others did worse. Breaking free means asking yourself what truly matters and developing satisfaction with what you have rather than measuring yourself against others. Too many women wait passively for someone to rescue them from unhappiness, trapped in if-only thinking. Whether facing serious problems like abuse or simply feeling unfulfilled, waiting for rescue guarantees prolonged unhappiness. The solution is either learning to appreciate current circumstances or actively changing them through incremental steps.
As life unfolds with new challenges, we risk falling back into overthinking patterns. A single event, a poor work evaluation, conflict with a friend, or death of a loved one can reactivate our inner voice of doubt and worry. Long-term strategies can prevent relapsing into overthinking habits. We each have identifiable themes and triggers for our overthinking. For some, it's interpersonal conflict. The mere thought of someone being upset with them can trigger rumination. For others, it's achievement setbacks that lead to questioning their capabilities. While we can't completely avoid these weak spots, we can structure our lives to reduce overthinking triggers. Consider Marla, an excellent lab technician who declined a supervisory promotion because she recognized the interpersonal conflicts involved would trigger her overthinking tendencies. She negotiated for expanded technical responsibilities instead, avoiding her personal overthinking pit while still advancing her career. Some goals we've pursued our entire lives actually set us up for overthinking and pain. Goals should be realistic, come from within rather than external sources, and avoid conflicts when possible. Women often struggle with conflicting goals, particularly balancing career and family. Rather than completely abandoning important goals that conflict with others, consider lowering expectations for each to accomplish modified versions of both. Carol Dweck's research shows that striving to achieve success rather than avoid failure leads to more resilience, creativity, and less overthinking when setbacks occur. Actively cultivating positive emotions provides both immediate mood boosts and long-term benefits in overcoming obstacles and reducing overthinking. Making a daily practice of activities that reliably uplift you, exercise, meditation, hobbies, is critical, especially when your schedule is monotonous or frenetic. Even setting aside just minutes daily for something positive can increase feelings of control and provide opportunities to think creatively about life changes. Overthinking most often occurs around aspects of life central to our self-concept. When our identity depends entirely on one role, such as mother or career person, we become especially vulnerable to overthinking. Problems in this singular role threaten our entire self-worth, making us hypervigilant for trouble and devastated when issues arise. Broadening your base means finding new roles connected to your values that provide relationships and bolster your self-esteem, creating balance when one area of life faces challenges. Intimate relationships provide fertile ground for overthinking. Sherry's story illustrates this painful cycle. After discovering her husband Bill's business trip conflicts with their anniversary, she spirals into catastrophic thinking, convinced he doesn't care about their marriage, might be cheating again, and that she's financially trapped. Her thoughts race between anger, self-blame, and panic, culminating in an explosive argument when Bill calls to apologize. A marriage counselor helps Sherry recognize she needs to decide if she truly wants the marriage and must take better care of herself regardless. By taking this advice, switching to day shifts to spend evenings with Bill, starting sculpting classes, finding new interests and social connections, Sherry gains the confidence to communicate calmly rather than desperately. She realizes she needs to develop her own interests rather than following Bill's lead, build support beyond her marriage, and work toward genuine forgiveness of Bill's past infidelity. Family relationships often trigger intense emotions and overthinking as we continuously renegotiate our roles with parents and siblings throughout life. Modern entitlement culture encourages blaming parents for adult problems, keeping many stuck in bitter overthinking rather than acknowledging their past and deciding which aspects of their heritage to embrace or reject. Children provide both great joys and deep frustrations that fuel overthinking. We invest too much of our self-worth in our children's behavior, yet we can't control them, creating ideal conditions for rumination.
Modern culture exacerbates this with conflicting parenting advice, media messages, and quick-fix obsessions that undermine the slow, deliberate work of parenting. Women particularly suffer from child-related overthinking, as they're held more accountable for children's behavior and feel deeply connected to their children's emotional experiences. Health problems provide potent material for overthinking because they can threaten our lives, cause disability or pain, create financial strain, and involve complex medical decisions with inadequate information. Unlike many life problems, illness often can't be completely fixed by our actions, forcing us to cope with its consequences indefinitely. The uncertainty surrounding medical conditions, from diagnosis to treatment outcomes, creates a perfect storm for rumination as patients grapple with questions about their mortality, identity, and future plans. Michelle, a 33-year-old with breast cancer, developed effective coping strategies throughout her diagnosis and treatment. She created detailed lists of questions for her doctors, had her husband accompany her to appointments to take notes and provide emotional support, and actively sought support from family members and support groups. Rather than suppressing her overthinking completely, Michelle learned to channel it productively, transforming her experience into a vehicle for helping others through writing articles about breast cancer awareness and mentoring newly diagnosed patients. Her approach demonstrates how redirecting anxious energy into purposeful action can create meaning from suffering. Loss and trauma inevitably trigger profound questions about life's meaning and fairness. When tragedy strikes, it violates our sense of control and challenges our belief in a just world where good things happen to good people. The initial shock often leads to intense rumination about why me and what if questions. Despite these challenges, research shows 70 to 80% of bereaved people eventually find positive meaning in their loss, not material gain, but personal growth, character development, and deeper appreciation for life. This transformation typically occurs gradually as people process their grief and integrate the loss into their life narrative. Alicia's journey after her partner David's terminal brain cancer diagnosis illustrates this transformation process in detail. Through the hellish experience of his diagnosis, treatment decisions, and eventual hospice care, Alicia discovered strength she never knew she possessed. She learned to advocate fiercely in the healthcare system, manage complex medical routines, and still find moments of joy amid tragedy. After his peaceful death, she reflected that love had given her superhuman strength and a profound appreciation for life. "I'm proud of what I've grown into." Her experience demonstrates how finding personal meaning in trauma, rather than remaining trapped in overthinking, allows us to accept what's happened and move forward. She later channeled her experience into volunteering at a cancer support center, helping other caregivers navigate similar challenges. Research shows that this kind of post-traumatic growth often manifests in five key areas: greater appreciation for life, closer relationships, new possibilities, enhanced personal strength, and spiritual development. While the pain of loss never completely disappears, many people discover that working through crisis can lead to unexpected personal evolution and deeper wisdom about life's fundamental questions. To combat overthinking on a societal level, we must make collective choices that reduce forces propelling women into rumination. Our elders are less prone to overthinking because they've developed wisdom through handling life's many crises. Yet our culture worships youth rather than revering older members, creating impossible standards for appearance while ignoring valuable life lessons. We can reverse this by consciously choosing media that celebrates older people, seeking appropriate fitness goals for our age, and actively listening to our elders' stories about courage, persistence, and principled living. Many of us frantically search for principles amid constant bombardment from media, internet, and others' opinions. To hear our own deeply held beliefs, we must spend more time quietly alone, a challenge in our multitasking culture. Carving out protected time requires dedication, but yields tremendous benefits: greater peace, calm, and groundedness in authentic beliefs. Our society's poisonous entitlement values, believing we deserve whatever we want and can't let others get the best of us, fuel overthinking. We can reject these values by turning off media that glorifies petty conflicts and choosing win-win approaches in business and family life. By modeling anti-entitlement attitudes and challenging our children and leaders when they resort to us-against-them thinking, we encourage problem-solving rather than rumination about what we deserve. One obvious solution to women's overthinking is addressing the root causes: inadequate pay, disrespectful relationships, and traumatic events like sexual assault. As citizens, we must support progressive leaders, anti-discrimination legislation, domestic violence shelters, and zero-tolerance attitudes toward violence against women. In our personal lives, women must refuse second-class citizenship in marriages, workplaces, and other domains, even when this means rocking the boat. Women's self-definition as emotional caregivers to everyone perpetuates overthinking through constant vigilance, worry, and despair. This fundamental self-concept must change to eradicate overthinking. Fostering relationships with other women, in friendships or social action groups, provides essential perspective on our negative self-definitions and creates opportunities to help educate women and girls about balancing care for others with self-care. While we excel at nurturing our daughters' emotional expression, we must also develop their active coping skills. They need to learn how to move beyond expressing feelings to actually solving the problems causing their worries. Rather than being passive, aha friends who merely listen, we can offer empathy while helping them implement strategies to break free from overthinking cycles and develop solutions. With multiple paths out of overthinking, we can build more satisfying lives and become better as individuals and as a society.